All right, our second question tonight is this. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19, it says, "Do not quench the Spirit." How does one quench the Spirit? How does one avoid quenching the Spirit? So I guess it's really two questions, but the one is the flip side of the other, right? So if you can avoid quenching the Spirit, then that'll teach you how not to quench the Spirit. Well, so let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and look at the context real quick before we begin to answer the question. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start in about verse 16 as opposed to verse 19, just to get the context here. In the context, the Apostle Paul is giving a number of commands that have to do with Christian living. And we could start earlier than verse 16, but let's just look at verse 16. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." So this series of short commands is given in this text, and they all relate to Christian living to a certain degree. But one of them is, do not quench the Spirit. Well, what does the Apostle Paul mean by that? Well, the word quench means to put out or to, sort of snuff out. And that's the idea there. When you quench a fire, you put out the fire. When you quench your thirst goes away. So the idea behind the word quench is for something to go away or something to be put out. The word Spirit here could refer to the Holy Spirit, and I think most translations capitalize the word Spirit here because they think that the word Spirit here refers to the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't necessarily have to refer to the Holy Spirit. It could refer to our own individual spirits. That's just the translator's interpretation of what the word means here. But nevertheless, whether it is the Holy Spirit that is saying do not quench, or whether it's our individual spirit that's saying do not quench, it's the idea is the same. The Spirit is the source of all things that are spiritual. So the basic meaning of the command is not to put out or to do away with the source of spiritual things. We're to be spiritual people. And if you quench the Spirit, you're putting out the source of spirituality, which is something that we're not supposed to do. Now that's the basic meaning. And you may say, well, how do we apply this? And that's what we're going to focus on next. There are, I picked three different ways to apply this and three possible meanings given the context. First of all, Paul tells them in the same passage, verse 20, do not despise prophecies. And quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. And it may be that those two things go together. Now, I'm not saying this is the definitive meaning. This is one possible meaning. And I'm going to give you three possible meanings. And I'm not sure that we can know which one they are, but it could be all three of them in some ways. So let's think about this first one. The first one has to do with the idea that do not quench the Spirit is talking about the Holy Spirit in the age of miraculous gifts. And so do not despise prophecies would go along with that. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." Now, in the first century, the apostles had the ability to do certain miracles. Prophesying was among these miracles. Speaking in tongues was another miracle. Healing people of sickness was another miracle. Casting out demons was another miracle that they could do. And so there's this whole list of miracles. And there's a list of gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that people who had the apostles laid their hands on could receive these spiritual gifts. And one of the gifts that they could receive was the gift of prophesying. And everywhere the apostles went, they seemed to lay their hands on people so they could receive these spiritual gifts. If you want further information on that, you can go to Acts chapter 8 or the beginning of Acts chapter 19 and see just how the apostles did that. Paul was included in that. And so when they would go places, they would lay their hands on people and then they would either speak in tongues or they would prophesy or they would do some other spiritual gift. And so when Paul tells the church at Corinth, desire the spiritual gifts, he is encouraging them to stir up these spiritual gifts that had been given by the laying on of the apostles' hands, specifically Paul's hands, most likely, and to use those things for the furthering of the gospel. Because that's why they were given, in order to confirm the word so that people would believe the message and in turn, obey the gospel. That was the purpose behind those spiritual gifts. Well, the church at Corinth was commanded to desire the spiritual gift of prophecy. And if they did not desire such a spiritual gift, and then practice using it, they would effectively quench or put out the Holy Spirit's ability to speak to them through this spiritual gift. And so, in not using the spiritual gift, they would quench the Spirit, that they would put out the Holy Spirit. And so that's one particular possibility of meaning here in this context, that Paul didn't want them to hold back when it came to prophesying. He wanted them to speak out. He wanted them to use that spiritual gift that was given to them. If that's what the meaning here is, then this command of do not quench the Spirit would no longer apply to us specifically because we don't have the miraculous ability to prophesy today or to do any other miracles for that matter, right? And so quenching the Spirit wouldn't be something that we would have to worry about. Nevertheless, it might not mean that. That could be one possible meaning, but it might mean something else. What else could it mean? Well, another way to understand this is that Paul may have been referring to the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament. Do not despise prophecies. You know, the Old Testament sometimes can be hard to understand, especially the prophecies that are given in the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Daniel, and all the other minor prophets, and the Psalms as well. Those prophecies that are in the Psalms and in those books can be difficult to unravel. And it could be easy for a member of the church, especially in that day and time, to say, man, I don't have time to mess with all those prophecies. I'll leave that to somebody else. But in doing so, in not studying the prophets, one might despise the prophecies. That is, in the sense that they're not going to pay attention to them. They're going to deal with something that's easier to deal with or something. And it was harder back then to have access to those prophecies since one had to go to a synagogue and get out a big scroll and had to manually roll through this scroll with two hands. Very difficult to do. Not as nearly as simple as flipping through pages of the scripture of the Bible like we have today. But in doing that, it could be that they would despise those prophecies, and as a result of that, they would not have the knowledge that they would need in order to teach others the gospel. Now, we know the prophets were used very effectively in teaching the gospel in the first century. Apollos used them, as recorded in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 and 25, and Philip used them in Acts chapter 8, verses 30 through 35. He used Isaiah 53 to teach regarding the Messiah and that Jesus was the Messiah. And so they used these prophecies a lot in their teaching and preaching. And you can see them used a lot in the New Testament, the Psalms and the prophets, both. Well, if Christians failed to use these prophecies, then they would effectively be quenching the Spirit, because they would not be hearing the voice of the Spirit as given through the prophets of the Old Testament. And in that way, not permitting the church to read and discuss the prophecies of the Old Testament would effectively be quenching the Holy Spirit's ability to communicate with those teachings. And so that's another way that they could quench the Spirit. And then a third way could be understood in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, discussed in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 20 through 23. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. In other words, Christians are to be liberal in practicing the fruit of the Spirit. We're supposed to be involved in those kinds of attitudes and activities constantly as Christians. And so, in this way, if a Christian were to say, well, I just don't feel like being very loving today, or I don't feel like being kind today, or any other of the fruit of the Spirit, and they were to shut those down, then in sort of a practical sense, the Christian could quench the Spirit, in that they are not letting the Spirit have way within their life to develop the fruit of the Spirit, and in practicing those things. And so not permitting those attitudes and activities in our life, the fruit of the Spirit, would effectively be quenching the Spirit. Now, there's three different interpretations of this passage, and it could be that all three of them are involved in this. Maybe that's why it's as vague as it is, because God wanted to include all of that in this command. Do not quench the Spirit. And so my guess is that it probably is referring to the first interpretation, that is, that this was during the age of miraculous gifts, and that Paul did not want the church at Thessalonica to not take advantage of the gifts that God had given them in this time when they didn't have the completely revealed Word of God available to them yet. And he wanted them to use that. And so he tells them, don't quench the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Get busy with that kind of activity. But that's just one interpretation. It could be some of the others as well. The context really doesn't clearly indicate which one it could be, although I would tend to prefer the first one. But nevertheless, we shouldn't quench the Spirit, just generally speaking. We should allow the Spirit, that is, through the Word of God, to have His way with our life. We want to be led by the Spirit, by the teachings of the Spirit, as is commanded us in both Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 5. Because to do that is to allow the Spirit's teaching to have sway within our life. And thus, letting it have sway within our life, we can produce those fruits of the Spirit. And in so doing, be the kind of people that God wants us to be. And so what does that mean we must do? That we have to effectively listen to the message of the Spirit in the New Testament and let the fruit of the Spirit work within our lives. And when we cut ourselves off from those spiritual sources of information, we have quenched the Spirit. And we shouldn't do that in a general sense, even though the specific sense that Paul has here may be referred to miraculous gifts. In a general sense, we shouldn't do that anyway. That's just good advice. We need to listen to the Spirit. We need to follow the Spirit. We need to let the Spirit lead us through the Word that the Spirit has revealed today. And so in doing that today, if we're going to let the Spirit lead us and guide us like we should, then we should obey the Word of God within our life. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, and you need to become a child of God through obeying God's word, you can do that this evening by hearing that word and believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're a Christian and you've been quenching the Spirit in your life by not letting the word of God reach you, then you need to change that as well and come back to Christ, come back to the Spirit, and listen to the message that the Spirit has for us so as to let that message have sway within our life. And if you need to respond tonight, we stand ready to receive you while we stand and sing this song of encouragement.